So when asked to give this talk on technology, my first thought was technology and communication. And in part, this is because I was hired in the middle of COVID and my entire job has been online. And after 18 months of working with the same people every day, we had a conference in Chicago and I met them for the first time. And instead of looking down at a 12-inch screen, I was looking up at a bunch of 6'4" giants. So suddenly the dynamics of our relationship had changed because we had this personal connection with each other. And communication is so important. Me and a couple of my coworkers would have coffee hour online because there is no water cooler talk when everything is scheduled. In order to have a conversation, it has to be on the record, on the books, in Outlook, or no one attends. So we would put coffee hour into our Outlook box to say, hey, can we just have a moment to talk and be human together? And so in this talk that I have scheduled, I'm going to offer you four versions of a 30-minute talk. So I hope you're ready for 2 hours of lecture. These four versions, I'm going to give them to you at the same time because I'm just that awesome. The four versions of the talk are the talk that I planned, the talk that I give, the talk that I think I'm giving, and the talk that you interpret. And this is the difficulty of communication, is that our words have so much meaning, and what we hope to portray can get lost in the words that we have to say. We are limited by our words. We're also limited by the words that other people have. And it's one of these cases that I find myself with foot and mouth disease. Not hand, foot, and mouth, but literally sticking my foot in my mouth because the words that I wanted to say are overshadowed by the words that I actually say, and I go to grab them and there's nothing left but to put my foot in my own mouth. So, in talking with this relationship that we have between us and our words with other people, when we have these teleconferences, and we've talked about the positives and negatives, so if it seems like I'm taking a negative view, know that behind it is a view where there is so much positive. You've seen that we can communicate across time zones. We're able to maintain connections. My parents are 6 hours away. If I couldn't communicate with them through technology, I'd be lost. I'd have to go visit them more often and not be here. But with the modern devices that we have and how we try to communicate through technology, is that we have this 12-inch box that we view each other in. Now imagine if during this conference you had a box in your eye where everyone else was looking at you. And in these conferences that I had at work, I realized my posture is off when someone else is presenting because I'm looking at a box of myself. What is my nonverbal communication to the person who's giving the presentation? And even worse, if I shut that box off, that presenter has no idea what kind of verbal communication. Am I totally lost? They don't see that. This is part of having technology in our communication. It's this blending of three different spaces. And if you've ever heard of like personal dynamics, is that you have public space. And what I do in public changes between what I do in my private life. I'm much more closed off and reserved in public, but in my personal life is where I feel like I can just be myself. So public space is anything that's happening within 30 feet of me. So if there are people within 30 feet of me, I'm refining and reserving who I am because I don't know who you are. I don't know everyone within 30 feet, so I'm pulling myself in. Then, if you're within 6 feet of me, you are within my personal space. And if I know you, I will reveal to you who I want to reveal to you in a different way than 30 feet and a person I don't know. Then even closer than that 6-foot dimension is the intimate space. And during one of the talks, I cracked a personal joke with Miron of, can you go back to the beginning? Because it referenced a single intimate moment that we had in seminary regarding a talk that was being given, and it was an inside joke that wasn't for everyone. And it wasn't to detract from what Father David was saying. In a video conference, if you tried to have a sidebar conversation, that's not allowed to happen because all words are treated with the same volume and the same importance online. And we've all had that conversation where you start to say something and someone else also starts to say something. And then both at the same time say, oh no, you go first. Oh no, you. And it goes back and forth because we're losing our words because we can't see each other. And also there's that time lag. We're not actually being together in the moment. And these are the differences of technology interfering with the full conversation. So there's this dimension of public space, personal space, and intimate space. And I told you I was giving 4 different versions of this talk, but then we can also go into the multiple versions of who I am. If you were to ask Father Miron who I am, he would give you 1 version of who I am. If you asked Father David, who is Tim Farris, he would give you a different version. If you ask me who I am, I would say I'm the most awesome man you've ever met. You should totally get to know him. But that's not who I really am. There's the version of me that I want to present to you, but there's also the version of me that I would rather withhold until we get to know each other. So if you were to look into a mirror, that mirror is still lying to you. That mirror is not it is not a replication of who you are, it's an imitation of who you are. And think of it further, if you were to dilute a mirror, so if you were to look at the surface of a pond, and you're seeing this reflection of you, it is a further diluted imitation of who you are. And that's how, that it's a way of phrasing all of these different versions of who we are. There's the version of me that you see here at the podium, but if you were to see me at the pierogi pinching fest, I'd be a totally different person. But if you didn't see me at the pierogi pinching fest and all you were to was to get to know me at this podium, it'd be totally different. You wouldn't really know all of who I am. So when you go into these conversations, you have to expect that you're getting a portion of a statement. You're getting a portion of my identity. And we lose some of this in social media. If I make not a dogmatic statement, if I make a doctrinal statement, if I'm really firm about this statement, people will act like that is the only thing I believe. There's a meme that's like, oh, I like peaches. And so someone else will say, oh, so you hate oranges. That has to happen because you've made a doctrinal statement that you like peaches. And it's just not the case. You're getting a fraction of a statement and making a proclamation of their identity. And this isn't about you. This is about what's happening all around us. Every day, a single statement gets pulled up and the woven cloth is just thrown into shreds. So, just like I said, I was giving 4 different versions of a talk. There's the talk I planned for, the talk I gave, the talk I thought I gave, because the talk I thought I gave was the best talk of all. And there's the talk that you interpret that I gave, which must be awful because no one's laughing. But as we get to these identities, so it's not just our words that are being communicated, it's also our identities. And just like I said, when there's this back chatter of, oh no, you go first in the chat room, when we deal with social media, and It's so important to understand who the other person is, because by taking a snippet of what they say and expounding upon it, we get into this chatter of, you must have met something else. And so people will be talking, they'll be talking in the same space, but never actually communicating with each other. And it reminds me of a phrase that the vineyard is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But on the internet, the vineyard has expanded infinitely, and all of the laborers are just shouting into the ether, because the internet has provided us so much more platform to speak, but no one's talking to each other, because there's not this understanding of personal, private, and intimate, and public space. Everything that was supposed to be personal, everything that I would whisper to a friend as a side comment, suddenly everyone has the ability to make a remark. And I posed another joke this morning. I'll go back one conversation. I had posted a statement online, and two friends that I know who hold the same view started arguing with each other. It's like, you don't know each other, but you would agree on this if you just took a second to realize what their personal connection was to me. But we can't do that in these public spaces. So there's the identity that I portray, but also the identity that I have within. The second moment of a mishap in public space was that a friend of mine posted his friendship with me. And you might know that this friend, his name is Father Miron, and you think that by posting all of these memories that he was a great guy, he was a really nice man, and like that's just not the case, it's a total lie. Yeah. So it's the identity that we put out there. And what we have to recognize is that what's being portrayed isn't always the case either. So there's our misconceptions, our misinterpretations, the miscommunication, and it all drives us that we should be assembling in some way. And one of my most formative events at seminary in practical pastoral education was attending a pierogi pinching event, because when I was there, someone that I never met had the opportunity. She was going through a family crisis, and it was just her opportunity to unload. And that doesn't happen in public spaces. And if every space is a public space, we don't have the opportunity to repair ourselves. In working out, we don't gain muscle mass by working out. We gain muscle mass by recovering from a workout. And that unloading of the communication isn't when we're patching ourselves back together, it's the reflection afterwards. I got like four note cards ahead. There we go. So, as a reflection, I wanted to bring up two passages. The first one is more geared towards what public space is and how it's to be interpreted. The second one is more of the online presence. The first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And it says, although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all so as to win over as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win over the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, I win over those under the law. And so if you could imagine, if St. Paul never had personal space with those he was trying to evangelize, all the Greeks would have thought he was Jewish, and all the Jews would have thought he was a betrayer of their faith. But in these personal spaces, he was able to isolate who he was. He was able to take on multiple personas for good cause. To those, and in the epistle today, it even mentions that if you're brought into someone's house, to eat in good conscience what they are serving. But if it causes someone scandal because that personal bubble is not there, it's back into the public forum, that he does what is appropriate to the conscience of others. We need to be aware of who's watching us, because they're getting the impression of who it is, what it means to be a Catholic. If I put my title Catholic as my identity out there into the public space, and I'm doing all of these things in public that are scandalous, even though it's not with, it has no intention or even like pain to it, it does hurt who they believe is the Catholic identity. So that's Paul. When he's evangelizing others, he takes on their form in the personal space. The second is the rebuking of others and the correction. And this is another interaction that I had in social media where I posted a generic pro-life comment. And I had a relative reach out to me because she believed that I was taking on too far of a position. And she believed that she was the moderate. Now, it's also not a Catholic position, but she did take a Catholic position in one respect. And this is when a brother sins. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he sins to you, you have won over, if he listens to you, if not if he sins to you, if he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. And at that time, the church was ecclesia, it was the people of the community. And again, this reiterates that you start with the intimate connection that you have with the person who sinned against you. Then you go public to a smaller crowd. And if necessary, only if necessary, do you go public to the wider community. And it's one of those breakdowns in social media that everyone sees each other's sins. So everyone's just, it's the Spider-Man picture of everyone pointing at each other saying, you're a hypocrite. Yeah. So in this is like just that need to understand who each other are, and in connecting with each other, that technology on a more base level, you heard from Father Miron and from Father David the spiritual connections, and this is more of the interpersonal relationships that we need to thrive. Churches are communities, and if we're attacking each other in the public forum and then assembling on Sunday, what does it benefit us? So, in just a quick conclusion, it's to seek the personal connections. And if that is through technology, if that's the means to do it, we need to find ways to do it responsibly. And attending in person, with what Father David had mentioned, is that viewing live streams had become a crutch for some people. But and it might not be live stream for you. There might be something else that's becoming a hindrance that we too need to throw off. To someone else, it might be the live stream. To me, it might be watching too many videos on YouTube. Or in favor of going to a conference online versus being in person. Being in person has a way of molding who we are. That lunch hour was a time for me to connect on a different level than just lecturing to you. Lecturing at you, raising my fist. So it's in that connection that the words we have to offer to each other, it's like, it makes more sense when you see me in other positions that my words my words really connect. If all you were to hear is a lecture without knowing who I am, it would be like speaking over your heads. And so that's why we've been gathering together for 2,000 years. There's a need to be together. And I hope we seek that in it's to bring us together, and so that we really have those moments together that we're transformed. And that's how Christ embraced us. That's how he performed miracles, and that's where miracles happen, is when we're together. Thank you.